97.5 The Fanatic.
Sunday morning to all of you out there across the Delaware Valley. Connor Thomas, Thomas Alvord.
Hey, buddy.
9 a.m., which means you know who it is here on 97.5, The Fanatic. We're starting off your Sunday morning with just wonderful vibes, courtesy of the Philadelphia Phillies. And Tom and I were sitting out there about 8 a.m. this morning. We were talking through what we wanted to get into today. And the question was posed, Do we even talk about anything besides the Philadelphia Phillies? Like, we're going to. We're going to talk Birds. We've got training camp stuff to get into. We're going to talk Sixers. We're drawing closer to their training camp and their season. We've got a lot of stuff going on today. But when the Philadelphia Phillies are playing like this, they make it hard for you to talk about anything else. They make it hard for you to think about anything else if you're a Philadelphia sports fan. And it's a refreshing change of pace because normally this is the time of year where you begin to shift attention from baseball season, at least for the past decade plus it has been, where you shift from baseball season to, okay, well, the Phils are out of contention, or the Phils are going to collapse, or I know the Phillies team is not that good, so eventually they're going to not be in contention anymore. So let's start focusing on the Eagles or the Sixers or the Flyers or whatever the case may be, depending on the year. But this year, no. This year, it is still firmly baseball season here in Philadelphia, and we look to be pointed directly at a red October. Now, we're a ways away. Still got 50-some games left. Still got work to do. And a series against the Washington Nationals, who just sold off a generational 23-year-old outfielder, one of the better power hitters still in Major League Baseball, and have nothing left besides a washed-up Luke Voit. A series against the Washington Nationals does not a playoff team make. That being said, it's hard to watch what this team has done over the past three games. Over the past, call it 10 games. That's really that starting series against the Cubs of the second half where they got swept. Since that, it's hard to look at what the Philadelphia Phillies have done and not immediately think the P word, playoffs. And they've got a ways to go. But my biggest question today is a battle that I'm fighting internally. And maybe you're fighting it out there. And maybe Tom's fighting it. Maybe Mike Vito, who's on the board for us today, is fighting it. But the worry that I have, Tom, the constant internal struggle is, are the Phillies this good? Or is it we're getting suckered in by a couple series against some pretty bad teams, and eventually they're going to play some good teams that's going to come crashing down? Now, all crashing down is relative, because they'll not be a 70-win team or anything this year. They're going to be right around 87, 88 wins. They're going to be right in contention for a playoff spot. I think they make it in. But are we witnessing fool's gold, or is this Phillies team showing their true colors of playoff contention? Because to me, I'm all in. I think regardless of the competition level, what they're doing at the plate, the rate at which they're slugging the ball and leaving the yard, especially in this series against Washington, the little things they're doing well in the field, the acquisitions they made at the trade deadline, this is just a team that smells. And you're going to have to help me with the smell part.
Got that smell to them?
Sense of smell. But yes. If I did, this would be a team that smells like a playoff team. So to me, it's very real. I feel like even though they're playing a much lesser opponent, and they played a much lesser opponent prior to this in Pittsburgh. Now, I know they took one of two from the Braves and then two of three from the Braves in the series prior to that. So they've beaten some good teams, mainly Atlanta. But to me, this is a team that looks like they are playoff bound. They're destined to be there. I don't know what they are when they get there, but even though it's the Nationals, what I'm seeing from the Philadelphia Phillies in all facets of the game is hugely encouraging to me. But feel free to tell me if this is fool's gold. Where do you stand, Tom? Because we haven't discussed this. We don't do the show before the show, as John Kincaid of the John Kincaid Show likes to say. But where do you stand, Tom?
This is the furthest thing from fool's gold, Connor Thomas. This team's the furthest thing.
So this is 24 karat.
Yeah, that's absolutely
right.
Can
gold be 24 karat, or is that just diamonds?
The Phillies are. They're 24 karat. Listen, man, this is a good baseball team. I know people are a little bit scared, a little bit nervous to buy into this Phillies team because what the Phillies teams of past have done to us. This is always about the time where, the wheels start falling off. They get down, then it's September, and they're five games out, but they still hang around. And then they lose a couple series towards the end of the year, and they're out, and they break our hearts once again. Folks, this is a different team. This is from Austin Krell last night. The Phillies are 37-19 under interim manager Rob Thompson. That is a big enough sample size now. This is from Kevin Cooney, not Bob Cooney, Kevin Cooney. The Phillies have 56 games left. This was before the game last night. 9 with the Washington Nationals, 7 with the Reds, 9 with the Marlins, who give us fits, but Rob Thompson's been able to handle them so far this season in his interim management. 3 with the Pirates, 3 with the Diamondbacks, 3 with the Cubs, who I can guarantee you put some money on it.
We got a Tom Alvord guarantee coming out 6 minutes into the program. What
they are not going to get swept by the Chicago Cubs again later in the year. It's not going to happen. I promise you out there. And they have 3 with the Giants, who are still a good team. You know, I know they're flailing a little bit and they are falling out of the wild card. The Giants still have enough talent where they could potentially win a series. But 56 of these games, and now 55 because of the game last night, are against teams that you should be able to beat. And Rob Thompson and the Phillies have beaten these teams. We saw Joe Girardi going into these lesser teams and the Phillies playing down to their opponents. I haven't seen it so far with Rob Thompson, and I don't think he plans on doing it anytime soon. I don't think the Philadelphia Phillies plan on doing it anytime soon. For them to weather, we talked about it, when Gene went out, Gene Segura now back from the IL. I think he had 2 hits last night. When Bryce Harper went down, we were all just talking about treading water. Just don't drown. Stay afloat. Man, this team did all that and more. Like, they are a good team. They've been a good team without their 2 best players and without Zach Eflin for a long majority of this stretch as well. Now you're starting to get reinforcements. You got some at the trade deadline. You got some coming back in Gene Segura. Like I said, Bryce Harper should be back in hopefully about 3 to 4 weeks. How he's going to look when he comes back, we'll see. But you have a Rhys Hoskins who's in the middle of a hot streak. 3 straight games with home runs. What was it? 3 straight games with a home run in the first inning for the first time since 1900.
I thought I was watching a replay.
Dude, legit. And this team, it's just an offensive explosion. The bats are going crazy. Nick Castellanos is, don't look now, he's heating up.
Don't let him get hot.
Another 2 hits last night. This is a good team. Philadelphia, buy in, deal with it. The Philadelphia Phillies are a good baseball team. And man, that feels good to say, Connor Thomas.
Yeah, and they didn't just tread water. Like, they did tread water. They didn't really make up all that much ground while they were waiting.
They were swimming laps in an Olympic pool. That's what they were doing.
They started treading water, and all of a sudden they turned into Michael Phelps. They turned into Mark Spitz. These guys turned into Olympians in the pool when we were waiting for them to just keep their head above water. Honestly, it's unbelievable what this team has done. And the other thing, then, if we both believe it's not fool's gold, is then what do you attribute this to? Because the turnaround, it can't just be one thing. It can't just be the manager. It can't just be the bullpen being incredible. It can't just be the guys on offense who you're paying to be the big bats actually performing like the big bats. And it's probably a combination of a bunch of things. But you remember, we did this show pre-All-Star break. We did it actually about a month, I think, after Rob Thompson took over as interim manager. It was like late June when they were having their incredibly hot stretch. And it's, what do you attribute their success to? And that was their success to get back to like 500 and actually be in a conversation for something. Now it's a, hey, this might be a top 10 team in baseball. Yes. What do you attribute this success to? Because there's so many things you can point to.
So listen, this team, like, talent is number one. As poorly as they played with Joe Girardi earlier in the season, what was it, 22-28 in the first 50 games, whatever.
I don't even know who Joe Girardi is. I've wiped it from my memory.
Even that team, like, the talent was there. I mean, this team went over the luxury tax for the first time in franchise history. When you look at it, you have a Bryce Harper, you have a Nick Castellanos, Kyle Schwarber, you have Rhys Hoskins, you have Gene Segura, JT Realmuto on the offensive side. Starting pitching, Zach Wheeler, he's always going to be an NL Cy Young candidate up there in the conversation, up there in the voting. Aaron Nola is back to pitching like the Aaron Nola we could, trust and actually have some faith in going out there, pitching every fifth day. He still has his hiccups every now and then, but overall this season, he's been really good for this Phillies team. You have Kyle Gibson, who, yes, he's a 4 or 5 starter, but he's putting together games like he did the other night against Washington, where he has a perfect game through 6, and he goes 8 innings, allows 1 run, and, completely takes over that game and helps him win that game. You have a Ranger Suarez who's been really good since he's come off the IL. You look at the bullpen. The bullpen's been really good since Rob Thompson's been here. You have some guys in the bullpen. So talent is number one. But, man, the job that Rob Thompson does and has done, and we've talked about it since he's taken over. What was it, June 2nd, I believe, is when
June
he took
3rd.
Over. June 3rd. Sorry about that.
Whole day of difference.
That's
makes a huge difference.
A big-time bad mistake on me. Now, since he's taken over, man, the guys have bought in. His voice carries in the locker room. It is night and day from a guy like Joe Girardi. And while talent may be there and talent may be the biggest thing, Rob Thompson's presence has just as much of a factor on the turnaround that this team has made, to me.
And talent has been the calling card, right?
Yes.
I've long said it. You look at this lineup and you just kind of read the names. Baseball is more so than any of the other three major sports. Hockey, basketball, football. No, baseball is one where you look at the names and you can tell how good a team is going to be, or about the ballpark of how they're going to be. Because of the 162-game season and how long it takes to really flesh out who's going to be in the playoffs, baseball is one where you really can look at a team more so on paper and be like, okay, well, they're going to play 162 of these things. If you've got names of guys that sound like good baseball players, more often than not, that turns out being a good baseball team. And you look at a lineup that has Kyle Schwarber, Nick Castellanos, Rhys Hoskins, Gene Segura, Bryce Harper, JT Realmuto. The list goes on. And you, Alec Bohm now, who he wouldn't have been in that conversation at the start of the year, and all of a sudden is now the greatest hitter on the face of God's green earth.
Oh, he's Ted Williams, Ty Cobb out there.
He's leaving the yard. He's pulling the ball with power.
Playing with confidence at third base, even, man. Like, when you look back earlier in the season, that three-error game where I thought Alec Bohm was done after that. I'm not going to lie. When he goes out there, boots three balls, has three errors in, what, the first three innings or something like that, and he goes, I bleep and hate this place, and it goes viral and everything like that. To me, that was like, okay, this is the beginning of the end for Alec Bohm. He's probably going to be shipped off somewhere. It's not going to work here. To have the turnaround that that kid has had when it comes to production out on the field and confidence at both the plate and at third base, that is a completely different player than I thought we were getting, and I think a lot of Phillies thought they were getting in that locker room.
Anybody thought they
anybody.
Were getting. Come
His
on.
His mom, Alec Bohm's mom, thought we were getting.
We didn't think he was getting us 400 average over the course of like a month. And it's funny, this is a TV show-esque term, but it was like character development. It's crazy. You've seen trials and tribulations of this team and individual players throughout this year. And it just feels like that montage, the Rocky workout montage. We're in the montage zone. I'm fully TFing
it. Love a good Rocky montage.
We are in the montage zone where the Phillies just beat the heck out of a bunch of bad teams in succession. We could put this to music when everything's all said and done with this season. And it's just a wonderful time to follow this team. And these are the times you celebrate and you look at, well, how'd they get here? What do you attribute this to? And what's going to be their calling card when they end up playing tougher teams? Because if the Phillies do indeed end up a playoff team, I don't think, correct me if I'm wrong, Tom, but I don't think their wild card opponent is going to be of the caliber of the Washington Nationals.
I would guess probably not.
Maybe a little bit better team.
Yes, correct.
So while we can enjoy this now, we're not just looking at what has gotten them here for nostalgia's sake. We're not just doing it because it's fun. I mean, we are doing it because it's fun, because when a team like this is winning, when your team is on a hot streak, it's fun to just look at and revel in all of the things that have made them this good. But we're also trying to figure out what the formula is for playoff success at this point, because that seems to me, at least, and it sounds like to you, Tom, and maybe to some of you out there, as more of an inevitability than a possibility. So, you said Rob Thompson, and honestly, it's hard to debate anything, because when you have a hot stretch like this, when you have a team that ends up like this, it's a lot of things going right at once. So, you can point to a bunch of different things, and you can't fault any choice for what you attribute the success to, but I think I got to go the bullpen. It's incredible what this team has done turnaround-wise in not even a year's time, less than a year's time. And you remember the start of this year? And the bullpen's falling apart, and a lot of people were saying, well, Dave Dombrowski hasn't done enough to address this bullpen. Dave Dombrowski didn't make enough signings. Oh, his only two signings this offseason for the bullpen were Brad Hand and Yuris Familia, who is DFA'd and released now.
And Knable as well.
Those weren't the only signings. Knable, Bilotti was another guy who either was signed late last year or this offseason. But those were the two main guys that you used to address this bullpen in actual free agency. Knable added earlier in the off season. But man, it just worked out perfectly. When you define roles for a bullpen, and when guys know when they're throwing every night and the situations to expect, which is hats off to Rob Thompson. It goes back to your point, Tom. That is a world changer for these guys. But to see all these ERAs sub three, sub two for some, it's mind-boggling how much of a turnaround the Philadelphia Phillies bullpen has gone through. And that is what I am zoned in on when I watch this team every night, because I know what you're going to get with starting pitching. We know that Zach Wheeler and Aaron Nola and, to a lesser extent, Ranger Suarez and Kyle Gibson and Noah Syndergaard are going to give you on the bump every night to start. But the constant when you look at the mound is not a starter. They throw every 5 days. The constant is the bullpen. You're always... Well, always. Unless Kyle Gibson throws a perfect game through seven again, you're pretty much going to have to rely on the bullpen for 3 to 4 innings a night. And to know how good they've been, that to me is how you have playoff success.
And, like, how good does it feel to actually have a, not just a competent bullpen, but a good bullpen and a deep bullpen? Like, there is guys that you can rely on in every inning, sixth inning, seventh inning, eighth inning, ninth inning. You have multiple guys that can close a game in David Robertson, which I love that acquisition at the deadline. One that I thought when it came to, we all knew the Phillies had three needs, starting pitcher, center field, and bullpen. I kind of thought bullpen would be, you know, kind of forgotten a little bit from Dave Dombrowski because the other two holes were so glaring.
Yeah, he's been listening to us on Sunday mornings. He knows I've been harping on the bullpen.
And that's a good job by him, as he should every single Sunday morning from 9 to noon. But no, you look at some of the names in this bullpen. When you have a David Robertson, you have a Sir Anthony Dominguez who's been lights out. Brad Hand was a tremendous signing. He's been really good this season. And the lesser roles. And a Connor Brogdon who, you know, started off a little shaky. The velocity was a little weak to start the year. He's been really good since then. You have guys, Jose Alvarado, who, if you listen to the show, you know I'm not his biggest fan. He's been really, really good since coming up from AAA. And he got sent down, what, about a month or two ago, whatever it was. You have a guy like Corey Knebel, who struggled a bit last night, but he's put together some good innings since being out of that closer role. This is a good bullpen that with multiple guys that can close games in any situation, and this is a deep bullpen where if you have a start from Kyle Gibson or Noah Syndergaard where they only can get you five innings, you have confidence that the bullpen can go out there and give you four innings with one run and, you know, seven strikeouts, something like that. So it's shocking. Like, I'm pinching myself right now because it doesn't feel real talking about having confidence in a Phillies bullpen, but I do for the first time, and I can't remember how long.
I never understood the pinch yourself thing because, because if you're actually asleep, you can't actually pinch yourself.
Well,
I guess you pinch yourself in a dream.
It's more like pinch me, I'm dreaming. Like, I would pinch you if you're dreaming, but, like, you know... I think it kind of turned into pinch myself.
You pinch me if I'm dreaming. I'll pinch you. We'll have a pinch agreement.
Don't go near me if I'm sleeping, please.
That would be a terrible way to wake up. But you're right. It feels like we have to. And I don't think I've even said the number yet. 610-632-0975. How could you not be? 610-632-0975 is how you get in with us today. I see we've got Pete from Princeton already hanging on, waiting to jump in. If you want to share this Phillies excitement, maybe you have some worry about them, and that's something that we are going to discuss today because there's another facet of the Phillies fandom that needs a little bit of talking to, not in a mean way, in a constructive criticism way. We like to help people on the show. We like to do that and get everybody in the right mind frame. But it's wonderful to come in here on a Sunday morning with the sun shining, the birds chirping, and know that you're going to get to talk about an incredibly talented baseball team. You're going to get to watch later today an incredibly talented baseball team. It just makes this time of year great because the thing that we don't think about really, like, we see a bad baseball team in a vacuum. When we see a bad baseball team, it's just like, okay, the Phillies haven't made the playoffs in a decade. What it really is, though, is late July, August, and September have been a dead zone for this sports town in what is a ravenous sports market. And when the Phillies think this is one of the worst sports months of the year, training camp doesn't do it for us, let's be honest.
Especially now that they're not hitting at all.
Yeah.
There's very little contact, and we can't see them, by the way, which is a whole other conversation.
Jason Kelsey's got bubble wrap on his helmet. There's only so many training camp tweets about a throw that Jalen Hurts made that can get us excited. It's been a dead zone. So this has been the middle of the Atlantic Ocean where you got the doldrums, you don't have the trade winds, your boat isn't moving at all, you're just kind of sitting out there on stagnant water. That's what August and early September have been for this sports city. And to see this have some juice, to see some excitement back in this town, to see that ballpark packed. And there have been numbers for a series for between the Washington Nationals, who are terrible.
Who are a AAA team.
Yeah, absolutely. Point. And the Philadelphia Phillies, who are making a playoff push, but still don't normally draw like this or haven't in the past couple years. To see the way that this team is being embraced by this city, it's just a special thing. And jumping on that train is the Chunas train. We can't take credit for the train. Andrew Salchunas, of course, is the conductor. Oh, that's great work by you, Mike Vito, to have the train sound, the train whistle. That's what I'm looking for going. I'm just, you can see me, Tom. You can't see me, but maybe you can hear it on my voice if you're listening out there. I'm just giddy when it comes to this team.
And you should be, man. And, like, it's actually fun. I'm looking forward to watching every Phillies game now, especially the way they're hitting, especially Nick Castellanos kind of coming into his own again. Like, I am looking forward to watching the Philadelphia Phillies play baseball every single night now. And listen, and this is something we're going to get into a little bit. The Washington Nationals, I just said it, they are a AAA team, correct?
Maybe double A.
Okay. They're not a good baseball team. And that's, I've seen.
I think Lehigh Valley would give them a run.
Maybe, yeah, okay, high A. They're not a good team at all. They pretty much have like 2-3 Major League Baseball players. I feel bad for Luke Boyd, the fact that he's even there and not Eric Hosmer. That's a whole other conversation as well. But listen, I've seen a couple tweets about that. Like, oh, it's just the Nationals. Oh, it's just the Diamondbacks. Oh, it's just the Pirates. I see all that stuff. You play the teams that you are scheduled to play. Sometimes those teams are the Los Angeles Dodgers and the San Diego Padres. Sometimes those teams are the Washington Nationals and the Arizona Diamondbacks. What good teams do, they don't just forfeit because, oh, no, we're not going to play this team. They're not up to our standards. No, they go out there and they win games and they win series. And that is what the Philadelphia Phillies are doing right now. They are a good baseball team, winning games and winning series and putting up crooked numbers, as Charlie Manuel likes to say, against these poor baseball teams. So, listen, they got to prove themselves. They got a tough week coming up, as me and Mike Vito were talking about before the show started. They got to face Pablo Lopez, Alcantara, DeGrom, and Scherzer this week.
Oh, that's all?
There might be a couple L's thrown in there, and there might be a series that we see that the Phillies lose that they should win. But in overall, in totality, this is a good baseball team. Hop in the train, guys. Let's go.
And we are going to discuss the upcoming schedule. We're going to discuss the part of the fan base that may not be fully in on the Phillies yet. There's plenty to talk about with this team. We always have conversation when it comes to the Phillies because, if anything, even when they're bad, they're never boring. But this is a great time when they're good to get into a lot of compelling conversation. So that's wonderful. We'll have it all day. 610-632-0975. Some lines open if you want to jump in. But a wonderful time for Philadelphia Phillies baseball here in the city and plenty of compelling talking points for us to get into. Now, I just called this month when the Philadelphia Phillies are not good, the doldrums, the dead water, the sitting in the middle of the ocean with nothing out there, a dead zone when it comes to sports time in this city when the Phillies are bad. But of course, it was a little bit of theatrics because we know the Philadelphia Eagles could carry this town even if they aren't playing. If the Philadelphia Eagles were the only show in town, we would be Eagles crazy in June. We'd be Eagles crazy in April. The Eagles can get this town going like no other sports team that plays in this city does. But for that reason, of course, we're going to continue to talk about them. And I had an interesting thought the other day about the dynamic on the offensive side of the ball. And I'll just leave you with this question as we tease it heading into the next segment. Is too much of a good thing potentially a bad thing? Even when it comes to a star wide receiver. Because I think overuse is a term that we have to be wary of when it comes to a new acquisition for the Philadelphia Eagles. It's cryptic. I'll explain on the other side. 610-632-0975. Connor Thomas, Thomas Alvord, Mike Vito, back there on the board.
Just Tom's fine.
Thomas is with us. And we'll be right back with you here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
We are back. It is just past 10:30, just turned to 10:32 on our clocks. And that's the clock I always go by, the one we have hanging up here in the studio. That is the master time, I guess. I guess there.
Father
the
time.
iPhone. Father time. Is that the father of all time is the clock here? Hey, it's the only one that matters. 10:32. Let's just call it what it is. Connor Thomas. Thomas Alvord. You love the Thomas, don't you?
Oh, dude, just love it so much.
I'm going to continue to do it. Because, yeah. But
do whatever you want.
We're here on 97.5.
At least you're saying my name right. That's all.
The FCC legally says I cannot do whatever I want, but we will do within the bounds of what we're legally able to do. We will do whatever we want
here.
That's
good news.
9 to noon on Sunday morning. John Kincaid actually texted me of the John Kincaid show. We have the signs hanging up behind
us. The John Kincaid.
The John Kincaid. The one and only. There's probably more John Kincaid.
There's probably, yeah. Definitely.
There's definitely other John Kincaids. But the one that we know here at our station texted me a couple because we're giving away FanFest tickets. If you have a fantasy football punishment you want to suggest for me to nominate at my league's draft, because we got to do something creative, and we've gone through like 6 years worth of punishment, so we're running out of stuff. I'm still voting for lose an eye because my team is stacked this year. It's a keepers league. I know I'm not going to lose the league, so hey.
Yeah, good luck with getting
that
top pass.
Let's see who's about it.
We'll say.
Yeah, and put your money where your eye is.
See, my issue is because we have, you know, everybody has their fantasy league that they do with all their hometown buddies, with all their whatever it may be.
And one guy from Singapore, of course, our league is going to be
correct.
This year.
So I have a league with all of my buddies, and we always, it's pretty intense, it's pretty serious, and we always try and find like a punishment, but none of my friends will ever do it. Like we tried to do the go on a date with a blow up doll, if you will. We tried to do that one, but I have a couple friends that are just like, nah, I'm too cool for that. I'm not doing it, and it doesn't.
And you're
make
out
it
of the
fun.
League, buddy.
Well,
see ya.
I don't have that many friends, so it's tough to, you know, get other people in here. But I wish that we did something more like you, where you keep going every single year. Now I would do. You have the same punishment every year, I think, is fun. I know Tyler Zuli.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they do like a punishment, that? But it's the same one every year. They run the combine every single year. That's a good one, too. I think it's because, I don't know, then if you're trying to change and trying to do something new every year, I feel like it could kind of water it down a bit, you know, and they get less and less funny, less and less fun. So that's the issue. But I just want a league that would actually do it. That's all I'm asking for.
So far, we have completed every punishment except for one, and the one that we need is still the golf in a skirt. But we're working on that. That will get done before the new league year kicks off. So it's coming. But the reason I brought up John Kincaid was he sent me a text with a couple suggestions. One was bike to work for a week. Which, that would suck. And the other thing is, a lot of people work remotely, so I just know one of my rat buddies, I love my friends, they're great.
Your rat buddy?
They're rats. Okay. They'll find a way out of the punishment any way they can. They'll be like, oh, okay, I biked to my living room to work remotely.
I have a 40-minute drive to the studio. I am not biking to the studio.
Well, actually, I have a wonderful solution for that.
Okay.
Don't lose the damn league.
I won't.
If you have a reason that the punishment is tough for you, well, yeah, don't come
actually,
in last.
I lost that league with my friends 2 years ago. But
did you really? What'd you have to do?
Nothing, because we can't come up with anything.
Okay.
Ever. But then I came in second last year.
I've come in 9th out of 10 teams twice, and it's ridiculous.
You're cutting it close there.
I'm cutting it very, very close. But so far, so good. It was a tiebreaker on the last week, and I ended up not having to do it. And that was the... that was the Valentine's Day dinner alone year, which, I mean, the guy who ended up going was in a new relationship. Like, he had just started dating a girl, like, 2 months before, and that was
a little tough to explain.
That was a rough conversation for him. But John said, bike to work. He also said, sleep on the streets outside the convention center. That would be, like, not fun at all.
No. It sounds unsafe.
Yeah, that's not a good time. I'm not going to go with that one. I'll tell you which one that my money's on real quick before we get into the Eagles conversation with a potential new face joining the team or a look at adding somebody at a position of not really need, but we'll see. This is one that I've been peddling for a while, and from inside the weird brain of Connor Thomas. The hot dog eating competition, Nathan's famous hot dog eating competition.
Okay.
And Joey Chestnut. Obviously, Joey Chestnut's going to win every year. Now, this would have been the year for it. So, depending on how many hot dogs he eats, like this year, I think he ate like 63 or something and won. The winning number of hot dogs for the Nathan's famous hot dog eating competition, you have to eat that number of hot dogs in a week.
Sounds absolutely horrible.
It's doable.
It's definitely doable.
It's just not fun.
That would be horrible.
Could you imagine a week where you have
63 hot dogs in a week?
63 hot dogs in a week. Joey Chestnut does it in like 20 minutes.
I would leave the league. That's what I would do.
Flat out
quit. I don't care if it's best friends. Nah, I'm out. I'm done with that.
Listen, it's not that bad. You'll live. It's hot dogs. Our own Coach Eric
Camille.
You're
supposed to eat like two hot dogs a year.
Coach Camille eats like two hot dogs a day.
It doesn't shock me.
He's the picture of health. So that would be a great one. Mike, do you have any good fantasy football punishment suggestions?
I don't. None of our leagues that I'm in, we've decided to do. I was going to say with the hot dogs, though, it's like take a week's worth of Phillies games. You can probably bang that out pretty easily. One friend of mine's league, they had him dress up in a chicken costume with, I forget what the sign exactly said, but he had to stand on a major highway at an intersection and had to get people to honk at him and do some other crazy
stuff.
Like,
I suck at fantasy football on the
that's
sign.
Always a fun one. The public humiliation, I love. I love to absolutely make sure my friends are just having the worst time possible when we do activities.
As you should,
together.
Yeah.
So, yeah, okay. Well, keep the suggestions coming. Some good stuff. We're workshopping some things. If you want to join in, 610-632-0975. Got some FanFest tickets to give away. And we've been hearing rumblings about some interesting people who are going to be there who you're not going to want to miss. So make sure you jump in now before those are officially announced who's going to be at FanFest and the events and the different booths and things we'll have there. It's an awesome event. If you haven't been, you're going to want tickets to this one. But the Eagles have an interesting situation with their running back room. You have Miles Sanders, who is probably outside of Jalen Hurts the most polarizing player on this team, you think, right? Like, Jalen Reagor creates noise when he shouldn't by some of the stuff he does on social media and where he was drafted and who he was drafted directly ahead of in Justin Jefferson, but Jalen Reagor isn't polarizing.
No.
I think the large majority of the fan base is on the same side when it comes to him. Miles Sanders, outside of Jalen Hurts, is probably the most polarizing player.
Yeah, that's probably definitely on the all, maybe like a Fletcher Cox or something like that. But yeah, you could be right there. Yeah.
And he's up for a new contract at the end of this year. He is on an expiring deal. Paying running backs in the NFL flat out does not work. I'm not willing to give any wiggle room on that at all. You pay a running back, you do not win. You might win regular season games. You might win a playoff game. You don't win Super Bowls when you pay a running back. So it seems that there could be a parting of ways in the future when it comes to the Eagles and Miles Sanders. And the guys behind him, well, Kenneth Gainwell, we thought we were going to get a good production year from him last year in his rookie year, and then he kind of fell off a little bit in usage. Boston Scott is what he is. He's kind of limited by his size. He's a great third running back. Like, I love him here. He kills the New York Giants, and for that reason,
but that's all he is. He's a third running back.
Yeah, he's every once in a while guy. So
probably a fourth on a good team, and most teams don't carry four running backs.
Yeah, three or four. I think he's a little bit better than just a fourth option on a good team. Either way, though, he's not a stalwart every down running back. And we had some news today in the NFL. We were already planning on bringing this up, but Kareem Hunt officially requested a trade from the Cleveland Browns. I can't imagine why anyone would be trying to get away from the Cleveland Browns organization right now. Just a wonderful organization that never has any wrongdoing up there. No, that's a sinking ship and has been for the past 20 years. And I don't know what the motivation behind Kareem Hunt asking out truly is. But the fact of the matter is he wants out of Cleveland. Per the reports, it doesn't sound like Cleveland's willing to trade him, but hey, we've heard this before, and if he mopes and groans long enough, eventually they're going to have to move him for something. Could we be seeing an addition to the running back room coming up here? You look back to 2017, which is the standard that we hold all good Eagles teams to from here until the Eagles win their next Super Bowl or eternity, whichever comes first, and you look at the additions of, well, LeGarrette Blount in the offseason, Jay Ajayi, though, on Halloween from the Miami Dolphins for a sixth-round pick. Having that running back rotation is helpful. Having those extra guys is great, and we've seen Howie Roseman take this approach before. Could we be on the verge of seeing a new face in the running back room? Could it be Kareem Hunt? Could it be somebody else? What did the Birds do? Because it kind of smells like there would be a move coming. Like, when you look at the breadcrumbs, when you read the tea leaves, I'm going to go through as many cliche expressions about seeing the future as I can here in this segment. But when you look into your crystal ball, there's another one. Chalk that one up. Put it on the board as Tom rolls his eyes.
Or don't.
It feels like that if there's a natural place where there's a position with a move coming, it would be running back. Right, Tom? Am I on base there?
Yeah, I think so. Potentially tight end, because I have worries about the tight end position other than Dallas Goedert. Like, I don't know who the number two tight end right now is. I guess Jack Stoll, technically. But I think you can do a lot better than that. The safety position, I think we would all like an upgrade. I don't know how reasonable and how realistic that is right now. But yeah, so I would think the running back position would probably be the one that's most realistic that you could actually add to this group. When it comes to Kareem Hunt, that's a Howie Roseman-esque move. You know what I mean? To go out there and get a big-time name like Kareem Hunt. I don't know how much I love it. I'm not going to lie. This is a guy who, you know, he's still young. He's only 27 years old. Relative,
is he really?
Yeah, 27, like, which isn't young for a running back, but when you haven't had running back one touches the past couple of years, like Kareem Hunt hasn't because of
splitting
Nick Chubb being
Nick
there.
Chubb, yeah.
Yeah, and Nick Chubb's like, you know, splitting time, but it's
monster.
Like 60, 40, 70, 30, yeah. The issue with Kareem Hunt is he's on an expiring deal, one-year deal. You can never have a bad one-year deal, in my opinion. In any sport, I really don't think so, because it's done after 1 year.
That's one of Jamie Lynch's principles of football, and I think sports in general, is that the one-year deal is...
I never have an issue with the one-year deal. I don't, like, even if it's 1 year, like, especially in a non-salary cap league, like the Major League Baseball... So 1 year, $50 million, I don't care, because it's coming off the books.
And not to derail you too much, but Juris Familia, one-year deal this year. So
okay. Well, you know what happened? You cut him, and that's it. You don't have to worry
You
lost out on a couple. No, I didn't. John Milton lost out on a couple million dollars because they went over the luxury tax. I think he'll be okay.
He makes
his,
that on
with
Sunday
his daddy's
beer
cigar
sales.
Company.
So
yeah.
It'll be fine.
Kareem Hunt is going to have a cap hit of $6.25 million this season. That is more than double all of the Eagles running backs combined. Miles Sanders Boston Scott, $1.7 million. Miles Sanders, $1.3 million. And I can't even find Kenny Gainwell on the top. So, yeah. So,
I think he's
a lot of
for
money.
Free, I've heard.
Yeah, okay. Probably not that little, but probably pretty close. And I just, does he fit here in that? And listen, you can never have enough good running backs, but I feel like the Eagles right now really like their top two tandem in Miles Sanders, Kenny Gainwell. I think they like the idea of them splitting carries, sprinkling in at Boston Scott here, there. So between the money, between the asset, which really won't cost much, maybe a sixth or seventh round pick for a running back on a 1 year deal. Like, I don't think that'll cost a ton, but for the salary and the room, the more wiggle room you would have to make because he's making $6 million this year, because of the age, not necessarily the age concern, more like how much am I actually going to get from this guy? How much are we going to rely on him? Is it worth it to bring in a Kareem Hunt if he's only getting five carries a game? I think on paper, and you know, if you're playing Madden or just talking with your buddies at the bar, it makes a ton of sense. Bring in a guy like Kareem Hunt. Why not? But when it comes down to it, I don't know how much I love it.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be Kareem Hunt, though. Like, Kareem Hunt was the catalyst that started this conversation because of the breaking news today that he requested a trade from the Cleveland Browns. But there are other guys like Josh Jacobs. I saw a tweet about, like, maybe being in consideration for the Philadelphia Eagles. The point is, this is a position where when you look around this team, and there's a question of, will Howie Roseman do the patented trade between the start of training camp and the start of the regular season? You saw it happen, most notably the Sam Bradford move. And now that was injury related, of course. But is there a situation where, I don't know, you look at the Las Vegas Raiders and their left tackle goes down. And Colton Miller, who's going to be starting for them at left tackle, is injured. And then all of a sudden, hey, we've got a lightly used Andre Dillard for you if you're interested. Just send us Josh Jacobs back.
He's actually had a pretty good camp, apparently.
Of course. It's funny how the guy that might get moved before the regular season has had a pretty good camp.
It's kind of shocking he hasn't gotten moved yet.
Like, it really is.
There were rumors about him getting moved last, and not to derail too much, but there were rumors about him getting moved last offseason, and now we're a full year plus past that, and he's still, there's no There's no smoke. There's no rumors. Nothing I'm hearing. When you have a legit asset, a left tackle that can start games for a team that you're not using here, obviously it's nice to have death pieces and stuff like that, but you just sign your left tackle in the future in Jordan Mailata. Why not try and get a third-round pick or something like that for an Andre Dillard rather than just having him as a security blanket? Now, left tackle is one of the most important positions in the sport, but I don't know. I just feel like it's kind of a little bit of a wasted opportunity just because, like I said, there's no rumors or there's no smoke doesn't mean Howie Roseman doesn't have something up his sleeve.
Yeah, but the depth is important, and that's why I think he hasn't been moved, because like throwing away a guy that could actually play at that position at a starter level to some extent, as also a premium pick who you liked well enough to take with a first-round draft pick, is just like not a guy that you just throw away. And certainly Howie Roseman
not throw away, but I mean, if you're getting a third-round pick that can help you next year, whether it be select a player or if you need to make a move at quarterback, extra ammo to go move up, I'd rather have the third-round pick than a guy that may not play a snap for me this entire season because Dillard can only play left tackle.
Yeah, I got you. It's not a bad case. I just think the answer to the reason, like, can't believe this guy hasn't been moved. Well, it's depth.
The depth aspect. Yeah, I understand
it. You have him.
I just feel like a little bit of a wasted opportunity here, potentially.
Yes, but hey, maybe it's not, and maybe the Eagles will make a move at running back, and maybe we won't see a new face there because of all the positions that you're looking at. That seems like the prime candidate to be a place where Howie Roseman makes an addition, if he does do so, prior to the start of the regular season.
So real quick, and we're going to get to Chuck in Vegas in just a second. Going off the conversation about the running back room, are you comfortable with the current running back room that the Philadelphia Eagles have, Connor Thomas, or would you like to see them make a Kareem Hunt-esque move, or even maybe a lesser move like a guy like Latavius Murray or, who knows who, Devontae Booker or something.
Yeah.
Jimmy Kensky wrote a great article on phillyvoice.com worth checking out about the Eagles running back room. What is your thoughts on the running back room, Kyle?
I'm incredibly comfortable with where the running backs are right now. Like, now, I'm higher on Miles Sanders than most.
Go ahead, sorry.
No, you're good.
I had the same thought process. I think he gets a little bit of a bad rep here.
Yeah.
I think he's a very talented running back.
Right. I think his production does not belay his talent level. And there now, after so many years, your talent level is what your production says it is. They are who we thought they were. The record is what the team is. It's all these expressions about, well, yeah, the numbers on paper show you what they actually are. Like, you can think a guy's uber talented, and after 5 years, if he's not producing, well, I guess he's not as talented as you thought he was. But I still live in the world where Miles Sanders' talent level is above where his production has been for this team. And in a contract year, I think this could actually be a very good thing that Miles Sanders is on the verge of being paid and had a down year last year in production, no touchdowns to speak of, where his production needs to be significantly up for him to get the payday he thinks he deserves. And I think that could help out. But all of those factors taken into account, I do think that I'm very comfortable with the Philadelphia Eagles running back room right now.
I'm comfortable. I'm not very comfortable because I think you can do better than a Boston Scott as your third back. And listen, I'm not trying to sit here and bash on Boston Scott. He's had some great moments here in Philadelphia, but if there is a potential upgrade out there for you over, now it's not over a guy like Miles Sanders or Kenny Gainwell. I think those are your one and two, no matter what, pretty much. But if there is a potential back out there that you would trust to have, maybe give you five carries, like a guy like Latavius Murray,
yeah,
play that power back position where he's the upgrade over a Boston Scott, I have no issues with that, with them making that kind of move. But to me, I'm comfortable with the running back room, not as comfortable as you, but like if we go into the season with these three guys, I'm okay with it. I think you can do better, but I'm okay with it.
So you're like secondhand sofa comfortable, like you're sitting on, it's kind of worn in a little
seat.
Bit, but you're all right. Yeah, maybe a love seat.
Yeah.
I'm in on the full-on lazy boy with the massage chair. That's how comfortable I am.
Okay.
I'm very, very comfortable there. I'm even more so comfortable with the Philadelphia Phillies, and we're going to jump back to the phones right now and get to Chuck in Las Vegas, who wants to talk about those Philadelphia Phillies. Chuck, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, Connor, Tom, Mike, good morning.
What's going on, man?
How you doing?
Doing great. Enjoying this ride that the Phillies are on, for sure.
As you should be.
Yeah, you guys were talking about the NL Central a lot. You know, I'm going to be paying close attention to those two teams pretty much on a daily basis. And like, you know, for the longest time, we were talking about the Phillies against the Cardinals. Well, now we've jumped the Brewers. We actually have a game up on them. And so that, to me, that's the team that we can definitely pass. We saw them when these teams played head to head. The Phillies are the better team. And I don't trust that Milwaukee lineup. You know, Christian Yelich is their best hitter with a .266 average. Look, he used to be a great player, but he's not the same player. And their lineup is very much average.
No, since that, he had a kneecap injury a couple years ago. Before that, he was like MVP type player. Since that injury, he has not been nearly the same.
Yeah, and I just think they have a very mediocre lineup. Great pitching. They have Freddie Peralta coming back. So, you know, they are a solid team. But look, the Phillies are a borderline great team right now, and they're just rolling. And, you know, what I liked yesterday was that they kept going. After the three-run homer, they're up 4-0, they're up 6-0, and they kept going. They didn't get complacent. And guess what? At the end of the game, they needed a heck of a lot of runs because that's baseball. You don't know how the game is going to play out. I thought that was a great reflection on Rob Thompson.
Yeah, I mean, I can't argue with that, Chuck. Like, everything since Rob Thompson has taken over has basically been a good reflection on Rob Thompson. It's been beautiful work by him, and for the first time in how long, we have a manager that we actually seem to trust here in the city, so that's a beautiful thing. Chuck, honestly, love everything you said there. It's hard to not be positive on the Philadelphia Phillies right now. It's just a great time to be a Phillies fan, right?
The first rumor, and just, lastly on Thompson, like, I was talking to D about the 93 team yesterday, and, you know, obviously that team had so much fun. Like, they were wild. They were like wild animals, basically. But, you know, this team is not that, but they have a lot of fun, too. The 08 team, Charlie let those guys be who they were. And Rob Thompson just lets these guys be who they are. You saw them on the bench last night just going nuts for that Matt Vierling home run. They're having fun, and that's the essence of baseball, guys.
It absolutely is, Chuck, man. Really appreciate the call. You're trying to stay cool out there in Las Vegas. You have a good rest of your Sunday morning early out there, probably like 7:50 in Las Vegas. Is that Western? The Pacific Coast time?
Yeah.
Yeah, got to be, right?
Didn't you go to Vegas last year?
I don't know what time it is in Vegas.
You don't. You don't remember the time?
I've been to England.
Time?
I don't know what time it is in England right now.
I went to Louisiana like 5 years ago, and I knew it was an hour behind, and that was 5 years ago.
I've said on these airwaves, if I was the Lord of Time, if I was president of the world, I would end time zones. Every time would be the same
time. I agree with that. That doesn't mean that you shouldn't know what time it is of a place that you went a year ago.
It is my protest. Okay. I refuse to know what time it is in different times.
I think it's your brain protesting Eastern. You. I think that's what it is. Yeah,
Vegas is the Pacific time zone. It is 7:53 in Vegas.
Yeah, see? There we go. We kind
Thank
of
you, Mike, it. And not Connor. Appreciate it.
Wow. Okay, we're going to do that. We'll hash this out in the break that we're about to head into. Coming up at 11. Maybe it's me after that. We're going to give out the cheese ball of the week. Of course, it's 11 a.m. staple here on Tom and I's shift here on Sunday mornings. A lot of interesting potential nominees, so we'll see what's going on there. And we also have a case of missed opportunities turning into, well, things that really just worked out well, and we saw a prime example of it just the other night at Citizens Bank Park. We'll discuss about something that didn't look great at the time that turned out working out in the Phillies team's favor. 610-632-0975. It's Connor Thomas, Tom Alvord, Mike Vito back there running the board, doing a great job producing for us, and we'll be right back here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.